This is VOA News via remote. I'm Tommy Dickey. The World Health Organization says 184 countries have now joined the COVID-19 Global Vaccine Alliance, known as COVAX, designed to speed development and distribution of an eventual COVID-19 vaccine. The WHO Director General Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus said Monday that Ecuador and Uruguay are the most recent nations to join the cooperative's program. The United States is not part of the COVAX program, calling it too constraining. Earlier this year, the Trump administration said it was withdrawing support for WHO, saying the group is too heavily influenced by China. President Trump has blamed China for the global spread of the disease. China announced last month it is joining the COVAX program. Tedros said that as the virus spreads in Europe and other parts of the world, sharing resources, supplies, and more can save lives. U.S. lawmakers are running out of time to pass a second massive round of aid addressing the economic and health crises caused by the coronavirus. U.S. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi was to speak with Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin Monday ahead of a self-imposed 48-hour deadline to reach a deal before Election Day on November 3rd. If the White House and Democratic majority House of Representatives cannot reach an agreement by Tuesday, the next opportunity for negotiations on aid will come during a lame duck session of Congress in November and December. On Sunday, Speaker Pelosi told ABC's This Week news program that the Trump administration had removed key language from the legislation that laid out as testing and tracing strategies. U.S. lawmakers have repeatedly failed to reach an agreement on a second round of economic aid to millions of Americans impacted by the pandemic. In September, Senate Republicans failed to pass a slimmed-down $500 billion aid proposal. The $2 trillion CARES Act, passed by bipartisan agreement in March, was one of the largest aid packages. This is VOA News. U.S. President Donald Trump announced on Monday the United States would remove Sudan from its list of state sponsors of terrorism as soon as Khartoum sets aside the $335 million it has agreed to pay to American victims of militant attacks and their families. A U.S. official told Reuters that the deal could also set in motion steps by Sudan toward establishing diplomatic relations with Israel, following similar moves by the United Arab Emirates and Bahrain. Sudan's designation as a state sponsor of terrorism was established in the 1990s during the presidency of longtime ruler Omar al-Bashir, who was deposed last year. The designation has since made it difficult for Sudan's transitional government to access debt relief and foreign financing. Many in Sudan say the designation imposed in 1993 because Washington believed Bashir was supporting militant groups has become outdated since he was removed last year, and Sudan has long cooperated on counterterrorism. A new report from Human Rights Watch says North Korea's pretrial detention system is characterized by systemic torture, degrading treatment, and rampant corruption. The New York-based group discussed the secretive country's criminal justice system in an 88-page report released Monday. The report is based on accounts by former detainees as well as former government officials who fled the country. Former detainees said that they were forced to sit still on the floor for days, facing punishment if they moved. Prisoners were also subjected to collective punishment. If one person broke a rule, all detainees in the cell were punished. Some female detainees reported sexual harassment and assault, including rape. Brad Adams, Human Rights Watch's Asia director, called North Korea's pretrial detention system arbitrary, violent, cruel, and degrading. There has been no comment from Pyongyang, and the North Korean government has repeatedly denied committing human rights abuses. The report was based on interviews with 8 former North Korean government officials who fled the country and 22 former detainees, 15 women and 7 men, all who were in detention after 2011 when the current leader, Kim Jong-un, took power. The U.S. Supreme Court on Monday declined to hear a challenge to a decision by the Pennsylvania State Supreme Court allowing the counting of mail-in absentee ballots up to 3 days past Election Day, as long as they are postmarked by Election Day, which is November 3rd. The decision favored Pennsylvania Democrats who had sought the extension against the objections of Pennsylvania Republicans. The Chief Justice John Roberts sided with the court's 3 liberal justices in declining to hear the case, signaling the U.S. Supreme Court still considers itself independent of partisan politics. Find more at voanews.com. Via remote, I'm Tommy McNeil, VOA News.